Blog Talk Radio.
One Lord.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. You have not tuned into the wrong place. Do not adjust your computer. Do not adjust your phone. Do not adjust your iPad, iPod, laptop, however, whatever you're using to hear the sound of my voice. You have tuned in to the Warfare Hour with Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson and Prophet Corey Grady. You have tuned in to the Warfare Hour. We bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We say thank you for coming back to hear what the Lord has given us to share with this earth realm. Before I move any further, let me again do this. Thank you, O God, for Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters International, Prophetess Teresa, Evangelist Hannah, Minister Tammy, the intercessors, and all of those who work so diligently to make sure that just basically about every single day, almost 24 hours a day, almost 7 days a week, there's somebody declaring the Word of God from this area or from whatever area they're assigned to. Thank you, Lord, for Apostle Leonard Emmons and the Living Way Christian Center family who faithfully and lovingly provide opportunity and shelter for us to exercise our giftings in ministry, even in prophecy. We thank God for our apostle, one of our spiritual fathers, that he continues to, by grace and by faith, give us the go-ahead to keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson and the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministries here in the City of Glory, known as the City of Gary, Indiana, for his continued and unwavering faithfulness unto you, his loyalty and dedication to you and the people of God, even to those who have not yet confessed you as Lord, his dedication to proclaiming the gospel to them, that they would confess you as Lord and as Savior. I thank God for men like these in our life, in our ministry being the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. I thank God for the family of Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries who continues to support, whether you are actually registered as a part of the ministry or you just support us by praying for us. I thank God for you as a member of the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, real quick. We here at the Warriors for Christ House Prayer Church International Ministries continue to believe that failure is not an option. We believe that because we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, which is found in Philippians 4 and 13. We thank God that we believe that failure is not an option because we believe that if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge God, he will lead, he will guide, and he will direct our path, which is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We believe that failure is not an option, because we believe that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We believe that failure is not an option. We believe that we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. We believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, and because of its continued promise of life eternal, we believe that failure is not an option. We move forward day by day, walking in the faith in God and in Jesus Christ. We believe that failure is not an option because we know that Jesus Christ has come to give us life, and that more abundantly. And because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life, is factual. Because that's a fact, we believe that failure is not an option. God gave his greatest so that our success would be destined from the foundation of the world. Without any more delay, Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name, our Lord, our Savior, our brother, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Welcome again to the fourth hour. We love you, we adore you, and we really praise God for all of you that are listening to us tonight during the podcast. And we're going to go ahead and get prepared to get started, because we recognize that we're here for you, not for ourselves. But, you know, we're kind of in a mode of prayer, so I want to share just a few scriptures with you. But first, if you would, repeat after me, open thine mine eyes.
Open thou mine eyes. That I may behold.
The wondrous things.
The wondrous things.
Out of thy law.
Out of thy law.
Psalms 119 and verse 18 said, Lord, please allow me to understand what it is that you're giving me on tonight. We pray that we are will be a blessing to you on tonight. And we've already asked that you would remember the podcast. Remember that you can go back and review any of the podcasts just by going to the internet, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But get your favorite tablet, your favorite journal, your favorite pen, pencil, whatever kind of electronic device is your preference, and suit up, mount up, get your Bibles, whichever ones you're going to be using. We like to use the King James and the Amplified, and so we going to be using other Bibles, and we always let you know which one we use when we're going through what the Lord has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, on last week, we had a wonderful time talking about various things, but one of the things that we talked about was how God charged us. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 36, 37 and 38, it reads, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. That's the way God sees us. He moves with compassion when he sees us. And you know why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We talked about the various pastors that we were praying for that really need to use the anointing and authority that God has given them as preach the truth. The truth is what makes and sets people free. And that is our goal. That is our concept. We really cannot tolerate or stand for anything but excellence in that area. It's unnecessary and therefore unfruitful. And because it's unfruitful, it cannot be tolerated. You don't have to stand for it, and neither shall we. as apostles and prophets, the ones that are sent of God, you know, that's what that stands for, apostle, or apostolos, sent, one sent. As the ambassador, he's given the authority. Every ambassador of any country, of any nation, has the authority of that king, of that conqueror, of that emperor, of that embassy, to react or to act on behalf of that sovereignty. Our sovereignty is the King of Kings, amen? And so verse 37 said, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's time for us to get off the couch, get out from behind the walls, go and beat the street, and do what it is that we need to do to be the blessing that God intended for us to be. Verse 38, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth the laborers into his harvest. We have to pray for ourselves, men and women of God, put ourselves in a position to receive and to go forth to do those things which God has commanded us to do. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 1, talks about that he called the 12, and he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he did that for us, and he gave us, as I said, the authority and the zeal and the actual promise of the authority, the promise of the anointing, but he gave us the command in verse 7. It said, as you go preach, saying this, and this is what we're going to begin to start everything off with. And we've been, if you notice, we've been saying it over the past 3 or 4 times that we come together. And that is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you do not know anything about Warriors of Christ, Living Way Christian Center, and don't know anything about Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry, if you don't know anything about the warfare hour, you'll know that we always say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because that's what's up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in order for you to understand that, we have to do some things. We have to heal the sick. There's too many churches that's got too many sick lists that ain't nobody getting healed. Get your butts up. Get up from behind them cushy desks and pews. And go lay hands on your cousins and your aunties and your mom and them and your big mom and them and your little nephew. And we have to begin to exude the power and authority that God has given us and quit being wimp. Also, it says raise the dead. Nobody, you don't hear about people raise the dead because people don't believe that it happened. See, you believe that it happened, you're never going to have the authority or the anointed to do it. But here's the thing you need to look at first. The first raising of the dead that we did was when we preached the gospel to you and you gave away those dead things that you were going into every day. It's not always just literally the life of the person that's left, but we want the old life to live and the new life to come forth. Amen? Hallelujah. Then it says, cast out devils. That's the mandate of everybody that calls themselves a Christian. But see, I ain't professing to be no Christian. I'm professing to be a servant of the kingdom of God. Now, okay, don't get angry at me, but guess what, y'all? Newsflash. Jesus was not no Christian. As a matter of fact, he was the Christ. When they said that they were first called Christians at Antioch, and it was not a nice thing, men and women of God. Now, I'm not trying to deal on anybody's theology, so please, to hear what it is that I'm saying, the fullness of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sometimes we hold on to the wrong thing. Oh, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, with your not telling the truth self. You think that you are, but you have your prayer life doesn't reflect it. Your love and your compassion doesn't reflect. Remember, we began talking about the compassion of Christ. We're talking about being disciples of Christ. That means those that he is sending out and giving the authority and the power to go out and to heal the land. He also said, to freely as you have received, freely give. Too many of us looking for a handout. You know, yeah, come on up to the prophetic line and drop some money down here from, you know, because, you know, you need to pay for what the Lord has given you. Hey, if a person wants to drop something at your feet, praise God for them. But if you start asking for it, then you're going against what the Lord said, do. In the scripture, he said for us not to seek anything as far as no kind of reward. Verse 9 says that, I say, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your person. Don't even take nothing with you. And rely on God to do the provision. No script for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes. Nor, in other words, go with what you got on. I'll provide, said the Lord. Hey, where you going there, Apostle? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Luke, the chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. See, where we are right now is where God saw that things was getting ready to go. First, he appointed the 12. He trained them. He put them in position. But then what happened was folks began to see and listen to what the man of God was saying. And it started making sense to them. And so they started following him. Others began to follow him. So Jesus quickly saw that it was more than just 12 people that was hearing what it was that he said. Remember, he said the multitude was following, and he felt compassion for them. But what he did is he chose out another 7, and he gave them the same charge that he gave the 12. And I'm saying that, I'm going over that for a reason, men and women of God, because I'm getting ready to turn it back over to the prophet. When you call yourself, especially one of the fivefold, if you're going to be praying for people, I'm talking about pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. Now, there are other ministry gifts, and all of them are just like the members of the body. All of them are vital. But these five are there for specific reasons for the edifying, for the breaking down, for the anointing, for the healing, for the casting out. All of that is what the responsibility of getting that information out, that's what it's for from those, the five fold. Now, we are to work together. We're not to be separate. Are you there at Luke chapter 10?
Amen.
Verse 1, it says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Now, that's the same as he's sending us out right now. He's doing the same thing now because he's coming back, y'all. He's coming back, y'all. He's coming back, y'all. His cousin was his forerunner, John the Baptist. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what John the Baptist did. And then the kingdom of God showed up. And he said, heart, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He upgraded it. Daddy told him, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of not only of God, but of all of the fullness of where the God dwells is coming as well, the fullness of all of it. Therefore, he said, the harvest truly is great. We're going back again to the harvest and the laborers. Remember, we talking about praying for the laborers. And he sent forth laborers into the harvest. Verse 3 says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Because guess what, y'all? It's not going to be easy. Folks is coming at you. They're coming to kill you. They're coming to break you down. They're coming to give you the best of what they got. They're coming with their king and with their daddy and what their daddy say. And they're coming in for a fight. You're going to get real or you're going to get punched in the mouth. You're going to get bit. You're going to let them chase you back to your house. That's what's been happening. Men and women of God. Yeah, we kind of radical tonight, but see, we got to go there. Some stuff we got to talk about, stuff we got to get off our chest. the things that we got to do. We pray that we're going to have an apostolic and prophetic outpouring on tonight because we're trying to set some things in place. Amen. Now, verse 5 is key. It says, and into whoever's house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. He gives instructions. He gives so many instructions. And what is this, is men and women of God? We don't want to take instructions. We don't want to take instructions. We don't want to be led by nobody. That's our problem. Now, if I ain't talking to you, don't get angry. But if I am, get angry enough to do something about it. And I ain't talking about give me an old nasty call. No, and forgive me, men and women of God, because that's not who we are, what we're talking about. But what I'm saying is I should be able to incite you into something. So, you know, the warfare, this is warfare. We fighting against an enemy that hit below the belt. And if you can't take a few hits concerning the things that's going on with you, because you got to be transparent. You can't have anything out there that the enemy can come back and throw up in the face. Because, first of all, we're not to look back. We're to look forward. The armor that we wear is a frontal armor. God is the one that got our back. Jesus is the one that got our back. The 12 and 24 elders is the one that got our back. Those that's in the leads in heaven and the angels, they the one got our back. So we need to be charged forward. Men and women of God, verse 6 tells us, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, when you go in your house, you already know that you got opposition when you get there. Don't worry about it. That's the way to talk about. Don't be looking at their faces or whatever. It ain't personal. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with what God said do, and they ain't going against you. They're going against God. So, verse 5 through 11 talks about that, but verse 17, we're over in Luke chapter 10, men and women, guys. I know sometimes I get carried away. But verse 5 through 11 talks about the things that you ought to do. But it says, heal the sick in verse 9, that are bearing and say unto them. See, everything is responded upon how you are received. The reason we're not receiving, being able to do signs, wonders, and miracles, because we're not doing it the way God said do it. So I'm saying to you, we need to get back in the study, and we need to gird ourselves up, and I pray that God continue to bless us, because we've been fasting. We're on a 21-day fast. We told you about it last week. We began on January 2nd, and we request that you would join in with us, especially in the prayer, in the area of prayer. And then a revival, we pray for revival, and we pray that we will even become an instrument of revival. And we're praying also, for, especially for those of you that are in the city of Glory, or better known as Gary, Indiana, we're praying for the city of Gary, Indiana. We pray for everything concerning the city of Gary, Indiana, or Glory, Indiana. And we began this past Monday with a 24-hour prayer that we initiated in the year 2007, that we prayed for the crime in the city of Gary. And you can take these, because we're going to be praying some of those prayers tonight, but you can take those same prayers, and we prayed them before, and you can call out the name of your city. When I say the city of Glory, you say the city of wherever you are, and pray the prayer along with us. You can even repeat it, because guess what? Faith cometh by hearing. Men and women of God, we love you, we adore you, we magnify that you are wanting to hear what it is that God is saying. I'm going to turn it over right now to the man of God, because he got something that somewhere he wanted to go, and then we're going to start with some mighty prayers. Amen?
on fire for the Lord. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Listen, beloved brothers and sisters, you heard the apostle say it. We are at war. This is not a time for just sitting back and chilling. We're at war. We are in a constant struggle with the enemy of our eternity. See, our eternity as confessed born-again believers is in Christ, which means our eternity is in life, as opposed to the eternity of the enemy of God or the enemies of God, which is in death. Romans, I believe it's 6:23, will tell you in a heartbeat that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So as a born-again believer, and I'm glad that Apostle brought up the fact that, you know, as a believer, you ain't a Christian. That's something that was thrown on you. That was just the best thing that they could call you. I guess that's what they thought. But as a born-again believer, a follower of the way of Jesus Christ, there's some things that we have to know as followers of the way of Christ. We got to know some things. We have to understand that there are some things that are undisputed with God. And one of the things that's undisputed is that there is a reward for righteousness and a reward for unrighteousness. I know that I'm going to sound like a broken record, but people of God, fall away from idolatry. Fall away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Fall away from rebellion and lasciviousness and revelings. Fall away from divination. Fall away. All I'm saying is fall away from the things that make you happy in your humanity, in your own self, as some would like to say. Stuff that makes you happy in your own self. And get into the things. Matter of fact, get into Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Because there's a B clause to that. There's a reward for delighting yourself in the Lord. That reward is, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And you can take that one of two ways. You can take it as the things that you desire you shall have, or that God will literally place in you the desires of your heart, because your desire is to follow after him. We ain't great men of God. We are men who serve a great God. Let me tell you that. We don't glory in ourselves. The glory is already God. We just continue to affirm and confirm for those who may doubt that the glory already belongs to God. Ladies and gentlemen of this body, can we go to the book of Romans? Can we go to Romans? Romans. Because what Apostle was saying in Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 9 and 10, it's factual. It's right there in the Word. It's factual. Your job ain't to seek out fame, popularity, money. Especially if you are on assignment from God as one of the ministers of God or the servants of God. If you are on assignment from God, your job is not to look for money. Because herein lies the confirmation of Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is not money that will take care of you. Money is the result of God's provision for it. Money ain't nothing but a means to an end. It's a facet of provision. But true provision only comes from God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. True provision only comes from God. That's why Jesus told them, don't carry money. Don't carry an overnight bag. Don't carry any extra shoes. Don't carry none of that stuff. Because what he was doing in that through those ministers was confirming the history of the people of Israel as they traveled for these 40 years, how their shoes never wore out. They never went hungry. Their clothes never became raggedy because they were always provided for by the Father. Because from the days of Abraham, God showed that he would provide himself a lamb. And so all I need from you is to understand that God is truly ready to move you forward. But first you have to understand that there's a reward for righteousness and a reward for unrighteousness. A reward for righteousness and a reward for unrighteousness. Verse 13. I was going to start at 18, but then I got to conversing. And I realized that I needed to go back a little bit. So if you'll bear with me, we're going to walk through this thing a little bit. I may not get to the end of it, but that's all right, because by the time we get to the end of it, we'll know what God is saying. Father, speak to your people that which you would have them to know, so that they would hear you and not me. The glory is already yours. The glory is already yours. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Verse 13 reads, now I, in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, it reads, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, verse 14, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That was verse 17. For the wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Now here's where we're going to start dealing with some things. For the wrath of God is from heaven. It's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. People of God, for God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. These men and women who supposedly declare this truth. That's why it was necessary to preface where I was going with, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, what I have to let you know is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is salvation. It is the very power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Christ. In other words, the story of Jesus, the good news that Christ has made himself the atonement the sins of mankind, that we would be reconciled to God even in our sin. We were reconciled unto God, that he would allow the ministry of reconciliation to be born in us, that as we walk the streets as born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be able to testify to the goodness of God the Father through his Son Jesus simply by the sacrifice of Jesus. The very sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by his coming to earth, by his living among humanity, by his dying at the hand of humanity. Because at the hand of humanity was he enlarged in power, that we would be reconciled. It's not that humanity is greater than God. It's just that God gave power to humanity through the death of Jesus Christ. Oh, but the great news is that the death of Jesus Christ is not the end. It was really the beginning. For his resurrection brought us new life. Why am I dealing with this right now? Because people are walking around here telling you and me and all these other people, even though they don't know who we are, that Christ is not Lord. We have so much going on, and people, without even saying the words, are saying Christ is not Lord. Why do I say that? I'm gonna take you through it. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take you through it. Listen, verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What does that mean? What that simply means is, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are now given access to the mysteries of God, even in creation, even in the world of creation. You are given access to the mysteries of God. You have no excuse but to live in righteousness, because God has given you all the tools to live in righteousness. Yet, we still find that people are out here hindering, trying to literally make ineffective the word of God and the truth of God by doing the thing that they're doing, which is causing rebellion against God. The spirit of Antichrist is in the earth, and it is causing men and women to believe that God is not God. They walk around and they tell you that prosperity is where it's at. But if you just do it like this, and if you do it like that, if you spin around three times and say, it's over, it's over, it's over, baby, you're going to get your breakthrough. All you got to do is walk up and down the aisle five times and say, I'm finished, I'm finished, I'm finished. And every time you walk, you say, I'm finished, and you're going to get your breakthrough. No, 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 no. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I don't think we truly, truly get it yet. I don't think we truly get it yet. I don't think we truly get it yet. That God has given us everything. God has given us everything we need for us to truly For us to truly, truly know who he is. He's given us everything. we have to truly find ourselves in a place of understanding. Here's the understanding that I'm trying to get to, because I'm really trying to take my time and I know I'm pressed for it, but I'm trying to take my time and enough time to really begin to delve into this thing and just give you this one point. If I can give you this one point, we'll be fine, because we can do the rest next week. If I can give you this one point, we'll be fine. I just needed to make sure I had the right word, so I'm leaning on the Holy Ghost. But here's the thing. The fact that that premarital sex and never marital sex, drug usage, homosexuality, lesbianism, divination, which is psychics, soothsayers, palm readers, all these people, all of these people are in the earth unknowingly being controlled by the enemy of our salvation in order to cause us to walk away from our salvation. Therefore, they pollute and pervert the very essence of power in the life of the believer, so that that believer can walk away. These people, and I'm not going to start, coming at religions or different things of that nature, but just understand that there are people out there who walk in belief systems that are not the same as ours, and yet there is a great falling away into these belief systems, because the Word of God has been polluted and perverted by information outside of the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't have to read books or get knowledge. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is understand that even in your getting knowledge, know that the knowledge of the Word of God is the most important knowledge you have to receive, because it will help you discern. Better yet, as the Bible says, it will help you try the spirits whether they be of God. We, my brothers and sisters, have to understand that the penalties, that the reward for righteousness, listen, we said it, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Listen, we said that every knee shall bow in things of heaven and things of earth and things underneath the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, all of the promise, all of these things have been made available to us in order for us to truly know that God is God, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the center. It is the epicenter of who we are as ministers of the word. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the epicenter of what we do in confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me say this, and I'm going to get out your way so we can move forward. I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to get back to Romans. So I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to get back to Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I don't care if you go to it or not, I want you to hear this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse number 7. Listen, no, better yet, verse number 5. Paul said, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. You're not allowed to judge, but there's a reason you ain't allowed to judge. And there's a kind of judgment that you cannot levy. You understand? Listen, this is why. This is why. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? I'm about to read this in the Amplified so you can get so we can get some clear clarity. And we're not just going crazy. Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers or revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now let me read this. In the Amplified, because I need this to be heard. Listen, I say this to move you to shame. Verse 5. I say this to move you to shame. Can it be that there really is not one man among you who in action is governed by piety and integrity and is wise and competent enough to decide the private grievances, disputes, and quarrels between members of the brotherhood? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before Gentile judges who are unbelievers without faith or trust in the gospel of Christ. My God, why the very fact of your having lawsuits with one another at all is a defeat in evidence of positive moral loss for you. Why not rather let yourself suffer wrong and be deprived of what is your due? Why not rather be cheated, defrauded, or robbed? But instead, it is you yourselves who wrong and defraud, and that even your own brethren, by so treating them. Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't be misled. Neither the impure and immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor cheats, swindlers, and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers, nor slanderers, nor extortioners and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And such some of you were once. But you were washed clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin, and made free from the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, hallowed. And you were justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit of our God. Men and women of God. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus walks in you every single day as a believer. When you enter into all of the works of the flesh, You then are walking away from your relationship with God, the Father. And I'm saying that with all vulnerability and all transparency, because I'm not just talking to you or who you once were or who you fight with. I'm talking about even the things that every day I fight with. You didn't think I was going to tell the truth about me, too. We have an obligation every single day to walk in the righteousness of God that has been born in us, because that is the path to the success destined for you from the foundation of the world, of the entire earth. We were destined to be successful in God by walking in the righteous path of Christ. But it is when you walk outside of the righteous path of Christ, is when we walk outside the righteous path of Christ, that we fall into the vulnerable state of pride. And the reason I say vulnerable state of pride is because once you start walking in pride, you're vulnerable to all kinds of attacks from the enemy, and they will be successful attacks because you have not girded yourself up with, girded your loins up with truth. You don't have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You don't have on the shield of faith. You don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have on the helmet of salvation. You don't have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You don't have the armor of God on you that you would be able to walk this war and be able to defeat the enemy on every hand, because you have put down the armor and picked up your flesh. It is
hallelujah,
not.
Hallelujah. Man of God, can I get in here?
Go ahead, sir.
All right, hallelujah. You know, men and women of God, I want to put a little emphasis on something that the man of God said, because occasionally when we get to reading a scripture, even though we bring in a point about something, it can be misconstrued, the fullness of where we were going. For that point. And so I know when we're talking about us not being able to judge in particular, so many different scriptures that talk about not being able to judge, and the scriptures that talk about us for us to judge. And but as the man of God said, here is why. And then he begins to talk about the things that will keep you from being a judge. You start talking about some things puts you in a position where, hey, you can't judge because you one of these.
Amen.
Now listen, men and women of God, it's about this here, because, you know, we talk about it, you know, just again going back to some of our previous scriptures that we stand by. Psalms 82 talks about why will you judge unjustly? Because we've been appointed to judge, because we judge on behalf of God. See, all of these things, as I say, men and women of God, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. Because here, I think we're in chapter 6, go to verse 12, reading out an amplifier that said, everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, good for me to do, expedient and profitable when considered with other things. See, we got to put, in other words, we got to put an I with an I or a T with a T. Consonants and vowels go together to form a word. Words go together to form a sentence. Sentences go together to form a paragraph. Paragraph goes together to form a chapter. You understand? Everything goes with one another. We began to talk about the things that go together. You know, there's a you can do it God's way, or you can do it your way. You can do it the way you understand it, or you can do it the way God has put it out there. And so in order for you to understand, remember we said, open thine mind eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Men and women of God, it is not our intention in anything that we present tonight or any other night. It's not about controversy. It's not about going against the grain. It's about what does the scripture say? And we pray that God give us a clean interpretation of the things that he's given us each time that we come. And so I share with you that in verse 12, that it says, everything is lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. That's what we're talking about. Don't be brought up under the power of the enemy because of ignorance. And ignorance means lack of knowledge. And we're speaking of knowledge that you yourself, through the help of the Holy Spirit, has researched gone through, heard, prayed about, fasted, gone forth, taught. Knowledge is all of those things. It's not just something that we heard because, you know, we got a lot of catchphrases, and it says that all of us have the potential for being deceived. Men and women of God, we're throwing so much truth at you that if you're not following in the scriptures, if you've not had access to some of this information, then unfortunately and even fortunately, we could be a hindrance at times because we're saying something you haven't heard before. But on the other hand, everything is fruitful. Everything is for us to be a learning. Everything is for us to be a blessing. We talked about, I talked about earlier that we're on a fast and that we're putting ourselves in a position for revival. And one of the things that we want to do, before I'm going to turn it back over to the man of God, we're going to begin some prayers. We're going to be praying for some things, and revival is one of those things that we're going to pray for. We're going to pray for your city. We're going to pray for the crime that's going on because there's too many things. If you've been watching the news lately, there's a lot of supernatural stuff going on here in the state of Indiana. We had a few days ago, we had a sonic boom that was real low. It shook the houses and made car alarms and alarms and buildings and everything else go off. Hey, everybody denying that they know what it was. Okay, you know, people want to say this and want to say that, but you need to take a look at the signs of time. There was a thing in Canada when the weather changed just today, where the whales, these killer whales, couldn't get up through the water because it froze over. The weather changed, but see, but God changed it after some folks got to praying, and those whales, after they were trying to send man to go in there and do something about it with the trawlers and the icebreakers and everything else, but God took care of it and gave them a way out. See, the whales, everything but man knows how to stay focused and get it right with God. And so, men and women of God, we present you the truth. We present you information, weapons of warfare, because this is the warfare hour. Hallelujah. Go ahead, man of God.
These things are what cause you not to be able to open your mouth and say anything. I mean, and I'm glad Apostle said that because, I mean, even though it is the truth, we are appointed to be judges. It is the truth. But walking away from your relationship with God causes you not to be able to do what you have been appointed or assigned to do. And we have a mandate from God to do exactly what he has called us or assigned us to do, which is simply going throughout the earth as prophets. The Bible says that God wanted Israel to be a nation of prophets. The hierarchy that they started walking in and all that was Israel. That wasn't God. God wanted to be a God. Christ to be their king, and he wanted them to be a nation of prophets. Do you understand, people of God, if this entire nation, the entire country, would begin to walk in the power of God, I'm not going to necessarily say just in the prophetic, but if you would walk in the power of God, in the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy, do you know how awesome this nation would be? We talk about how we number 17 or 25 or whatever in certain intellectual or educational areas, and we talk about how we're not as much a superpower as we used to be, and all this wonderful stuff. How we're so indebted to China, that China has become now the owner of America, and all these crazy things. But people of God, it's not because that they have more power than we do. It's not because they are greater nations than us. It's because we have walked away from God, and that is the bottom line. We then walked away from God and began to walk in idolatry. We began to make material more popular or more of a necessity than ministering to the need, to the inward need of people. I mean, let me go back to Romans. I ain't even finished with Romans. I got a couple more minutes. I want to get into prayer. I want to get into prayer because he said we're going to pray. I want to get into that. Listen, we were at verse 20. For the invisible things of him being God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. People of God, we must walk away from the foolishness of our humanity and walk in the wisdom of God that has been made available to, it's been provided for us. And we have a clear understanding of how to get the wisdom of God. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. That's what the Bible say. Bible say you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Paul is talking about a people who knew God, but were not thankful in knowing God. We're not fellowshipping with God. Let me tell you something. The greatest key to the power of Jesus Christ in the earth was not that he was Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. The greatest power of Jesus Christ in the earth was his unbroken fellowship with God. Let me say that again, so I want you to hear that and really get that in your mind. The greatest power of Jesus Christ in the earth was not that he was Jesus Christ, but it was his unbroken fellowship with God. Jesus Christ, if anybody on earth ever walked in the earth say that they knew God, it was Jesus. Jesus knew God on levels that you and I have yet to experience, because he had unbroken. Nobody could break him from the fellowship that he had with the Father. And it was because of this unbroken fellowship, he kept and maintained a focus that was unparalleled in the earth. Jesus Christ, Jesus could do things that we only dream about doing, but it was because Jesus had one advantage over us. He literally never stopped praying. He never stopped fellowshipping with God. He never stopped being obedient to the will of God in his life. He never wavered from his assignment, which was to literally fellowship with God. Why is it that we look to Jesus as our example on how to live in God? Because Jesus lived in God. But these people that we're talking about now, being us of the modern church, we don't know how to thank God. It's too much for us to thank God. It's too much for us. Now, I ain't talking about people who fellowship with God and who got all this worship. You know, your life is a life of worship. And I ain't talking about you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those of us who are coming up to that place, those of us who are walking into that place of unbroken obedience. unbroken fellowship with the Father, those of us who are still trying to do that. We have an obligation to walk in unbroken fellowship, and the people that were being talked about, Israel. Israel. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's all I'm saying. Your own, listen, we've already said it. Because failure is not an option because we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. This is what they were doing. They professed themselves to be wise. This is stuff that Lucifer did. Lucifer professed himself to be greater than God. Well, you see how they worked out for him. And our mission, our assignment, our obligation to you, which we gladly and cheerfully take on, is that we help you understand that that the wisdom you should seek after is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of yourself. There's the people out here who, and I'm gonna turn this over, and I'm gonna give this to Apostle because I know he got something to say. I know he does. I really do. But there is a people out there who say that they're righteous because they've begun to find knowledge of self. I'm not gonna say the name. I'm just gonna tell you. Listen closely. These people believe that they are God, not in the way that we believe that we are God. They believe truly that they are God. And they walk the earth saying that the reason that they are great beings in this earth realm is because they have knowledge of self. Well, let me break knowledge of self down to you. The knowledge of yourself is this. You yourself are not righteous. You have no righteousness outside of Jesus. For the Bible clearly says, the Bible distinctly says, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Without Christ or outside of Christ, you have no righteousness. If Christ had not come to be the eternal atonement for your sin in the earth, for the foolishness that you walked in yourself, for the foolish mindset that you had, if Jesus Christ had not come and become the atonement for that mindset, you now would not be righteous. The only reason you walk in righteousness is because of Jesus Christ. Apostle, go ahead.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we come up to that point where the man of God was talking about, and he didn't get to the meat, getting down to the nitty gritty, getting down to the part where you got to make a choice because
it's some. See, there's blessings and there's curses. There's blessings and there's curses. You know, there's Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of what? Of Christ. I was sharing with my wife the other day concerning the tabernacle. Everything in the tabernacle and everything in the temple, from the white linen to the four colors, which was red, which was scarlet, blue, white, and purple, to the brass, the gold, the silver, even the camel's hair, the rope, the brass nails that went halfway in the ground because they didn't go all the way in the ground because everything is a representation of Christ. Even as the tabernacle talks about, you know, our bodies are the same way. The tabernacle had the outer court, the inner court, and the holy of holies. And the sacrifices were brought to the outer court, you know. It's a nasty place. It's a dirty place. It's a place of where cleansing has to be done. Even in order for man to be cleansed of the initial sin, God had to sacrifice an animal. A ram, he had made their clothes out of rams. You know, we talk about the cursing of the tree. The olive tree was... Not the olive tree,
the fig tree.
The loincloth that was made from, they covered Adam wasn't authorized to cover Adam. The fig leaf.
Uh-huh.
And so when Jesus came, he had to curse that tree because he was going to be the lamb. He was going to be, you know, you have to start looking at everything that makes sense. You have to start looking at all the things as they fit. And so we're talking about Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and verse 1 through verse 14, talks about the blessing of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14. And we've gone over that before. But I'm going to tell you something. Say, when you get to verse 14, it says, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods who serve them. And then it starts off, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And it begins at verse 16, it goes all the way down to, the 57 verses. Take a look at that when you got some time. And the curses, which we just talked about, you know, even in the scriptures that we were talking about in Corinthians, it talks about what you end up becoming because of sin. You can begin to become some things that's ungodly. And if you become these ungodly things, you subject yourself to the curses even of the shadow. Now, God is telling us straight up what they talked about in the Old Testament. Jesus is telling us straight up in the New Testament. And just like I talked to you earlier about in Luke, where it talks about the 70 that he sent out. He's sending us out to do the same thing he sent the 70 out to do, but we need to know what the assignment is before we go out. Just to be, you know, stand up to God. He, Jesus, in Acts, actually it was in Luke, he told them before they, because he was getting ready to go up to the Father. He was getting ready to ascend. He had been with them for 40 days, giving them the rest of the story, the rest of the things that they needed to be the church and the implicators and the beginners and the carriers on of the church. So anybody that say that you ain't supposed to listen to what the apostle said, to me that's kind of crazy, because who did he lead the church with? Who else are we supposed to listen to if we weren't going to listen to them? Anyway, move on, preacher. Okay, glad you said that too. Men and women of God, put yourself in a position that you got to go study. If you hear something you don't like, or you hear something that sounds a little bit on the to the left or to the right, because we just talked about that to the left and to the right over in Deuteronomy. Go back to it. Deuteronomy 28, begin at verse 14, and say, don't be going nothing off to the left and to the right. There's some stuff in the New Testament that say, don't take one dollar, one tittle. There's some other things that say, hey, put yourself in a position to be not judged, so that you don't be judged, because in the same matter that you judge, you shall be judged. What that's saying is, hey, if you put yourself out there, guess what? The cover going to get pulled from up under you. Guess what? You can't be covered all the time unless it's in the blood of Jesus. So whatever we did in the dark is always going to come to light. Light and dark don't mix. They don't stay together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Light and darkness does not mix. Go back and read that at your own convenience. Deuteronomy 28 chapter, verse 1 through 14, talks about the blessing. Verse 14 through 16. talks about if you don't want the blessings, if you don't adhere to the commandments of God, here's what's going to befall you. And if you take a look at those things that's going to befall you as a matter of being cursed, and look at what's been happening in your life, what has come down, all of that is not stuff that you did, but it's stuff that has been cursed upon you. And there are some curses, you got to find it in the scripture. Some curses are through 10 generations. Some curses are through 5 generations. But in other words, that's a long time to be cursed from doing what God has commanded us not to do. Now, in the Old Testament, if you're trying to live by the commandments of the Old Testament, you in big trouble. Because God already knew we couldn't do it. The men before him couldn't do it. That's why he had to come. So why are you trying to do everything by the letter of the law, the Old Testament or Old Covenant or Old Promise, instead of trying to do the things in the New Promise, New Covenant, New Testament? Listen, men and women of God, there's two kinds of Israel. There's the Israel of the blessing, and there's the Israel of the curse or of sin. Which are you? Oh, by the way, you are Israel. That is your last name. In case you did not know it, the coming of the Jewish nation and all of the things, there's so many things that we are confused upon, and we'll take a point about this. It is all confused and discombobulated. And now we don't want to hear anything about the Jews. We don't want to hear anything about the Jewish nation. We don't want to hear anything about Israel. And it's because of our lack of knowledge. And it was for God. Listen not, deceive not, deceive. God is not mocked. He wrote this out for us 5,000 years ago. They still finding stuff to verify the information that's in these Bibles that we're reading now. And bear in mind, men and women of God, that there's a translation. This translation, if you're listening to me tonight, there's a good possibility that you're listening to me in the language of at least American English, which means that the words that we are reading was translated from another language into the language that we can understand. And men and women of God, I always encourage people to get this book called How the Bible Was Made to Be. It tells you that every book, every Bible is subject and was translated, which means what? There's the things going on that words have a different meaning. By case in point, when I say the word mean, mean can also be interpreted to me a person that's not happy or that's not friendly. Or it could be interpreted as the same word mean could be interpreted as what is your understanding of. Now, guess what? It was interpreted from another language. Therefore, when we read scriptures, and I bear this in mind to all of those that are listening on tonight, especially tonight, when you get ready to interpret scriptures, and there's different words, always look at the punctuation, capitalization, and especially the commas, the semicolons, and the periods. Because if there's a comma that says, hey, something else is going with this, that means it says and. If it's a semicolon, whatever comes after that went with the first thought. That thing is changing the thought. You need to take, when you're studying, get yourself a good study Bible. I mean, it should say King James or whatever translation that you prefer. I would suggest that you would begin with a King James and then find a translation that is more comfortable to you and your understanding. The Amplified is a good one. That's one that we use because it's really very flowerful, and it really there are others that are just great for different folks. But get you a good study Bible, because in that study Bible, in the middle part of the page, or at the bottom of the page, it has what we call footnotes. And those footnotes, as you're reading your scriptures, they have different abbreviations, ones and commas and parentheses and things of that nature under certain words. Well, if you go over to the middle or down to the bottom, it's got commentary on what the origin of those words were. And the reason I'm saying that, men and women of God, that, you know, this is just basic Bible study 101. I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis. As you go through and research, you'll find, before you go through the text of Scripture, if you got one of those italics or one of those things that made you go to the center of your Bible or to the bottom of your Bible as a reference, you'll find several other scriptures that clarify the scripture or the word that was being brought out in that scripture at that time. And also in a study Bible, you need to know five things: who, what, when, where, and how. And we say this often, and we again, the Bible Basics 101. You need to know who was talking, who was they talking to, what was they talking about, when did it occur, what was the reason for. You need to know how is it affected, how did it affect them, and how does it affect us now. And if you're going to be teaching people, if you're going to be going out, laying hands on the sick, if you're going to be passing out things, then you need to understand where you're getting your power, where you're getting your authority. People are going to begin asking you questions when they get saved, delivered. And they're going to want to, you need to understand and be able to direct and lead God and direct them to the truth. And so that's why we painstakingly attempt to give you the Word of God, especially from the concept of kingdom mindedness and truth. And then, but we're just planting a seed and watering it. It's up to you to do the homework. You got to do your homework. We got ours, now you got to do yours. So that we challenge you. You know, come on back with some stuff that, you know, hey, Apostle, you were kind of a little off on that one, and here's the reason we feel that way. I don't mind that. You know what? I'll be the first one to say, God bless you. I didn't know that. See, I don't have a problem being transparent. Do you? Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, man of God, and then it's time for us to pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So as we come to the conclusion of the lesson, I want you to finish out reading. I want you to read the full first chapter of Romans. I want you to read the full first chapter of Romans, because the full first chapter of Romans is so essential. And then I really desire that you read the entire book of Romans, because there are so many key points to you walking in salvation in the book, especially chapters 1 through 8, okay, and then 12 through, like, basically 15, chapters 12 through 15. I want you to really take the time to read those chapters, because there is some meat in there that's going to really help you. And I want you to read them every over and over and over again. Don't act like you just got it after the first time. We're going to do it over and over and over and over again. So we're about to get ready to go into prayer, because that is an essential part of what we do as Warriors for Christ. We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're warriors. what I'm meant to. And it's important for us to know who we are and what our mandate is. So read the book of Romans. It will shed some light on some things if you have some questions about salvation. We're going to go into some other books of the Bible regarding, you know, the aftermath of the coming of the first coming of Christ. But right now, that's what we want to deal with. Deal with the book of Romans. Listen, people of God, let's go. Apostle, what did you have to say regarding prayer? I know we're about to get ready to go into the prayer, so let's just go ahead and go into that. Amen. 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 It is important as we're preparing, it is important for us to know that prayer is an essential part of who we are as believers. Jesus Christ himself told a parable, and the meaning of the parable was that all people, all mankind, should pray and not faint. All mankind should pray and not faint. So we're getting ready to go into prayer. Apostles, you there? Let's go ahead and get ready and get started. Amen. 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 It's prayer time, people of God. So we're about to move into this area. Gird yourselves up. Prepare yourselves. Hold on tight. It's prayer time.
Hallelujah. 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 We ask you to share with us in praying for us, at least for the fast, 221-day fast. And this is not a braggadocious thing. We're trying to do some stuff. We're trying to break through. We're trying to pray for this nation. But we our prayer is specifically for the City of Glory, the City of Gary, and you can pray for your city. You just substitute the name when we get ready to pray that prayer. And also, what you want to do is we're praying for revival, and that's what we're going to start tonight. We're going to pray for revival, but we're going to pray for revival with a supernatural ability. Revival with supernatural abilities, and we've been so blessed with different men and women of God that have provided us with some prayer points that's been proven to break the yokes. And so we pray that you will pray this revival with supernatural abilities. Hallelujah. The mantle for revival falls upon me now. In Jesus' name, mantles to make me a revivalist fall upon me now, in Christ Jesus of Nazareth's name, in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mantles of evangelism fall upon me now, in Jesus' name, mantles for deliverance fall upon me now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the sweet communion, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, compassion of the Lord for the lost, the bound, the sick, and the confused. Fall upon me now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mantles to create wealth to advance the kingdom of God. Fall upon me. Consume me now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, empower me supernaturally in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Power to confront and to conquer impossibilities. Possess me, possess me, possess me in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, I want to be possessed by you. Heavenly Father, arise, arise, arise in your supernatural power and move me, oh God, forward. Move me forward in Jesus' name. Yes, God, rise in me. Arise in me. Arise in me. Heavenly Father, rise in your supernatural power and move me forward. Every stronghold of the enemy working against my life be pulled down in Jesus' name. I receive the supernatural power to perform signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. Power to destroy every evil work everywhere. Possess me by fire, 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 fire. Possess me by fire in the name
Jesus. Oh, Lord, how excellent is that name in all the earth. Empower me with that first kind of divine abilities to move mountains. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, right from this moment, no evil power, no evil power, no evil power will overcome me in Jesus' name. Blood of Jesus, grant me supernatural abilities to live above sin in the name of Jesus. Power to close the speaking mouth of evil liars, fall upon me now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and your magnificent name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the power of the Holy Spirit of wisdom begin to operate in my life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Let the power of the Holy Spirit of wisdom begin to operate in my life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, give me the grace to manifest the supernatural gift of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus' name. Ability to work, to speak in tongues with divine results. Ability to speak with, in tongues with divine results. Ability to speak in tongues with divine results. Possess my tongue right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, empower me with the gift of healing to heal all sicknesses, to heal all sicknesses and diseases. In Jesus' name, power to prophesy exactly as God ordained. Power to prophesy exactly as God ordained. Fall upon me now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, give me the ability, the power, the opportunity to discern spirits in the name of Jesus. Grant me the gift, grant me the Holy Spirit gift of the discerning of spirits in the name of Jesus. But I would have the ability to discern spirits in Jesus' name. And I call forth the anointing to perform supernatural miracles. What are you waiting for? Possess me, anointing to perform supernatural miracles. What? Possess me now in the name of Jesus Christ. God Almighty, for the power to interpret tongues. I yield to your ability to interpret tongues, God, and I receive it now. I receive you, Jesus, right now in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Lord Jesus, empower me with the gift of in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Let all my natural talents be made supernatural in Jesus' name. My musical ability, my festive ability, my speaking ability, my all of my abilities, make them supernatural, but in your name, Jesus Christ, call them forth to do your will in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord. Great Almighty God, use me to do supernatural things beyond my desires in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know, God, I don't do it because I delight myself in you. So all my desires will be greater than I could ever understand. Who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. By my faith in you, O God, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give me the gift of administration above Solomon in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I know Solomon was wise, but I ask for the grace to operate even above his wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, power to interpret dreams more than Joseph, more than Daniel the prophet. Possess me now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you say you know respect our personal God. And so these prayers that we pray, Father, we pray even right now, Father, as we declare and decree, Father, in your name, by the blood of your Son, Jesus, Father, the good, the acceptable, perfect will of you as the great I am. And also, oh God, you said for us to anoint ourselves with oil, Father. You said for us to commune with you, oh God.
And so we do that, oh God, in spirit, even right now, Father. And we pray, Father, even for the city of Glory, Indiana, the city of Gary, Indiana, Father, for you said that the gates of hell should not prevail against it, which is the church, the Congress of the God in this earth. And said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, oh God. And you said, whatever that we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, oh God. And you said, whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, oh God. But we recognize that there were so many things going on that you had to send your son. You said you saw for a man among us that should make up a head to stand in the gap before you, oh God, for the land, that you should not destroy it, but you found none, but you have found some, Father, because you began to send us, Father. You began to send us after you sent. After you sent your son, Father, after you manifested yourself and came down, you gave us a perfect example, oh God. But then, even back, going back, Father, you had always said that if your people who were called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, oh God, to turn from our wicked ways, oh God, you said then you would hear from heaven that you would forgive our sins and you would heal our land. And so right now, Father, we call you, we declare and decree that you have said these things to you, and we call you and we hold you to your word, oh God, as we pray. And we are the ones praying here on the air, oh God, for the city of Glory, the city of Gary, Indiana. So we will say the city of Glory for the city of Gary, Indiana, oh God, but we pray that everyone would pray with us and that they will pray and say the name of their cities, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because as I go into this level of prayer, oh God, I receive the cover of the blood of Jesus. I stand a strong tower, which is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I receive God's unction and power upon my tongue. In the name of Jesus, I forbid any satanic backlash or retaliation against me, my family, and ministry in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth and by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this battle that I am fighting, I shall fight and I shall win. I shall fight and I shall win, for I am the victor. I am not the victim in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I shall put on the full arm of God, because I'm coming at you. I'm coming at you, demon. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and I wear the shoes of the gospel. I take on the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit as I go into this territory of prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I, Apostle Paul, and Earl Clark Richardson, bind and rebuke Satan by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ, and I bind and rebuke Satan, the evil princes, and assign evil strong men and evil dark powers in charge of the city of Glory in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command the five gods on all of the idols and traditions, sacrifices, and rituals against the city of Glory in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I, Apostle Compton, Earl Clark Richardson, under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, break all agreements and evil covenants between the people of the city of Glory and Satan and his cohorts in the name of Jesus. I dedicate and claim the people and the city of Glory, Indiana, for God and his kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let the presence, let the dominion, let the blessings of you, God, be experienced in this city of Glory. Pour out your spirit on all flesh. Set the captives free. Send forth legions of angels with flame and swords of fire, oh God, into this city. Let the kingdom of God come forth in the city of Glory, Indiana, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I destroy. Lord, I decree. Lord, I destroy. Lord, I decree. Lord, I, your servant. Lord, I, your servant, Apostle Carter, Earl Clark Richardson, destroy, decree under the blood and name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, total removal of idolatry, lust, greed, spirit of mammon, enmity, jealousy and hatred, violence and murder, strife and arson, strikes and juvenile delinquencies, oh God. Rebellion and lawlessness, oh God. Perversion and pornography, oh God. I destroy and decree. Pornography, rejection, adultery and homosexuality, oh God. Revelings and addictions and drunkenness, oh God. I also decree and destroy by the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. Drug dealings and prostitution, strip clubs, gambling, theft, robbery, corruption, racism, oppression, deception, gangs, fear, unbelief, anxiety, witchcraft, and all diseases and division in the city of Glory, Indiana, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I prophesy, and I prophesy, and I prophesy, and I prophesy against all the satanic evil altars in high places in the city of Glory, Indiana. Be consumed by the fire of God, and their ashes be blown away by the east wind in the name of Jesus Christ. And I also decree and declare that every satanic occult, witchcraft, voodoo, evil altar around the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, becomes desolate immediately. Right now, and all covenants being serviced by these altars be revoked and dismantled in the mighty and precious name of Jesus the Christ, most holy God, most holy God, most holy God. I, your servant, request that you let the sword of the Spirit and the hand of the Lord be against the wicked priests, voodoo priests, the witches, the warlocks, the wizards, and the priestesses ministering at all these satanic, occult, evil altars and high places, and let their places be found no more in the city of Glory, that is Gary, Indiana, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Father, I furthermore shut down the mouths of the wicked agents and silence every evil directive from all evil altars and false high places in the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus the Christ. And my Father, I thank you, I proclaim right now that you let all curses brought about by ritual sacrifices and satanic tokens be revoked in the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Father, I bind, Father, and I paralyze all satanic and witchcraft powers of idolatrous priests in the city of Glory of Gary, Indiana, and I cut and I sever and I cast off every connected cord or yoke of any demonic spirit in the city of Glory of Gary, Indiana, in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Father, it is like Joshua, but I command the sun, the moon, the stars, and the winds to begin to fight and war against the witches, the warlocks, the wizards, the evil priests and priestesses, the diviners and the astrologers who have been using these elements against the people of God and the move of God in the city of Glory of Gary, Indiana. In the name of Jesus, I come against them like Joshua, and I also call forth the judgments of God, that they would come upon the ancient and scornful men, ancient and scornful women who influence or rule over the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, by sorcery, satanic manipulation, and witchcraft, occult powers, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I bind the wicked in the heavenlies above the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, and Father God, I proclaim that you send forth your angels and shake the wicked out of the heavenlies above the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana. I deprogram and nullify whatever the enemy has proclaimed or programmed into the lives of the people of the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is by the blood of Jesus, O God, that I destroy every blood covenant made upon any satanic altar that has brought untold hardship and suffering upon your people in the city of Glory, city of Gary, Indiana. In the name of Jesus Christ, I completely and totally frustrate the tokens of liars and silence all of which sin against the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, at any altar in the name of Jesus Christ, and I desecrate in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I desecrate every satanic and evil altar in the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana, with the blood of Jesus, and I cancel all their associated covenants in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And Father, every Marine officer, territory officer, and astral officer in the city of Glory, O God, catch fire down, be destroyed in the name of Jesus. All Marine and water spirits, Leviathan, Rahab, the Queen of the Coast, and Diana of the Dunes operating in the city of Gary, O Glory, be paralyzed, suffocated, and destroyed. I dry up these waters in the name of Jesus. I break, I dismantle, and destroy every limitation brought on the city of Glory by the influence of satanic occult evil altars in the name of Jesus. Every devoted building, dope, crack, prostitution, and gang house to wicked evil operation activities in the city of Glory to be demolished and destroyed in the name of Jesus by the power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I command the citadel of the wicked forces all witchcraft powers to shift bases from the city of Gary. Be evicted, dislodged from this city. Be destroyed, be dismantled in the name of Jesus. Pack your bags. Get up. Get out of here. Go. I prophesy and decree that the covenantal grace, covenantal favor, peace, glory, unity, oneness, and light, love and mercy of God be established and released into the city of Glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let your restoration, revival, reformation, prosperity, unity, joy, fear, righteousness, godliness, glory, wisdom, and the kingdom of heaven be released into the city of Glory, Indiana, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let legions of angels of God be released into Gary now. Father, Lord, let loving kindness, convictions of sin, and repentance of our heart, honor for God, the spirit of adoption and harvest laborers be released into the city of Glory in the name of Jesus, oh God. I decree that the gospel of the kingdom of God should no longer be restricted by any satanic occult or witchcraft, voodoo, evil altars, or false high places in the city of Glory, Indiana, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke and I bind the God of this world from blinding unbelievers in Gary and Glory, and I release the light of the glorious gospel of Christ into the city of Glory, into the lives of backsliders and unbelievers in Jesus' name and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I decree and I declare a new day of divine visitation, revival, salvation, increase, miracles, signs and wonders, deliverance of Jesus. We pray, O God, that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh in Gary and heal the land of Gary, Indiana.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the mighty Son that you sent into this earth, we both declare, we all declare, we pray, O God, that you would pour out your spirit on all flesh in the city of Glory in Gary, Indiana. Heal the land, O God, for we are calling on you. We are submitting ourselves humbly to you, and we are calling on you, God, to heal the land. And I prophesy that an altar to Jehovah God, where Jesus Christ is enthroned as King and Lord, is and will be raised in every household, and every business of City of Glory, of Gary, Indiana, in the name of Jesus, I decree it, I prophesy it, and henceforth I declare that Jesus Christ is King and Lord to the glory of God the Father over the city of Glory, Gary, Indiana. Mighty and not the name of Jesus Christ, it is so. Thank you, and amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hey, Senator Tammy Prophet, do you have any announcements? Go ahead. Go ahead at this time. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we thank God for tonight. We pray that we've been a blessing to you. We do turn it over to Prophetess Teresa for whatever she has. Hallelujah.
Well, again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight and staying on the line for the whole duration of the Warfare Hour here every Thursday at the same time, same place, 8 o'clock Central Time. You can tune in and you'll find Apostle Carlton Clark Richardson and Prophet Corey Gradit here on the line to pour out into God's people. Besides that, receive that word and grow. You can go into archives and you can listen to the broadcast once again and again and again. And we pray that you were blessed and you take that blessing and you bless someone else with it. Amen and glory to God. Father, I thank you for your vessels, God, your vessels of honor. Father, we just ask you right now that you would replenish, just pour back into them, Lord God, everything that they have sold out to your people, everything they have poured out, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just ask you, Father, that your word has fell on good ground. We thank you for the harvest, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that even right now that you're doing your work, that Gary, Indiana, is covered with the blood of Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, that even the angels have been released, Father, to do the work from the north, south, east, and west. We call souls in. We call them in by the Spirit of God. We thank you, Father, that it is so. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we cover the listeners, Father, and we thank you, Father, that they are blessed, their household is blessed, and everything that concern them, we decree and declare that they're blessed. And we thank you, Father, that you're moving in their hearts and you're moving in their minds and you're moving in their souls and in their spirits. We thank you for stirring them up, Lord God, for the word that has been sown into their spirits this evening. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And we're going to get ready to end the broadcast. I want to ask Apostle or Prophet, is there any last words that you would like to say before we close out?
Amen, amen. Real quick, if there's anybody on this line in the next couple of minutes who has not yet made the decision to come to Christ, pray this prayer with me. And if you pray it in sincere earnesty, you will receive the reward. Father, I believe that you are God. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins, and I believe he was resurrected for my redemption. Father, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. I yield my body to you, and I repent for all my sins. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we thank God for your salvation, and we now turn it back over to our Prophet Teresa.